Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's a throwdown on Thursdays, and we started out strong live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Wrestle Talk across the country, hosted by Ralph Williams, Clayton Trutor, and Smokin' Jim Frazier. 347-205-9631. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Yours truly producing this live in Los Angeles. It now is extended to 45 minutes every week. So you guys wanted it. You guys got it. We're going 45 here, so we're just so blessed to bring this thing up the bar for you guys. And as I put the red carpet down, the podium in its place, hand off the mic as I'll start to man the boards after the introductions. First of all, Ralph, how are you? How can you be reached? And then we'll pass it on to Clayton and Smokin' Jim. And then, boy, you can talk about SummerSlam, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I like the fire for this every Thursday night. It's great. I can be reached at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. My Facebook page, Ralph Williams. My Facebook page, Sports Corner. The way I see it, Wrestle Talk. I'm on Wimkin and Twitter as well. So those are the ways I can be reached.
And the fine sponsor you have, my friend, before we give it over across to the other guys.
Absolutely. Our sponsor for tonight's show and every DJ Fun. Call DJ Fun today, 412-545-4317. If you live in the western Pennsylvania area, Fun, he will DJ your party and special event for you. Just recently at the West Mifflin Market, the new flea market. He did the grand opening for that. So if you ever need any kind of an event or a party, DJ Fun is there. 415-4317, and he will not take visitors with a cost.
Okay, Clayton, as we give it over to you, welcome back. You're a permanent fixture now in this thing, filtering in and out every couple of weeks, and the guys are blessed to have you, and the listeners are blessed to have you. And how can you be reached, and how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Mark. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here with you, Ralph and Jim. It's such a fun part of such a fun thing to be a part of this wrestling show. You can reach me on Twitter at Clayton Trutor, CLAYTONTRUTOR. I write in a wide range of venues, including SB Nation. I teach at Norwich University in Vermont. I teach history. I'm the author of a new book called Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. It's available widely now at all your well-known online and in-person booksellers. I'm on Facebook, too, Clayton Trutor. Look forward to hearing from you in a variety of venues and look forward to talking wrestling tonight.
Yep, and Smokin' Jim, as we give it over to you, boy, I'll tell you, he's got the ladies across that state line going from Philly to Pittsburgh and back, involved with the Pittsburgh Pirates and stuff, and we're just so blessed to have you each and every week. How are you tonight, and how can you be reached? And then we'll turn it over to Ralph.
Hey, thanks, Mark. And I tell you what, man, the listeners are in for a treat because we got my man Clayton back this week. I can't wait to hear his thoughts. But you can reach me on Instagram at Smokin' Jim Frazier, Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Okay, and I'll turn it over to you, Ralph. 45 minutes with the wrestling and whatever else is on your mind. The three amigos, not the three stooges. That's for darn sure.
I wouldn't think so. All right, guys, got a whole WWE news tonight. First, we have Vince McMahon stepping down. Since our last show, Vince McMahon has stepped down from the WWE. It is official. Other WWE news, Bianca Belair last Saturday at the New York Mets. Great to see that. Shane McMahon will not be part of the new management base with the WWE due to his attitude. Supposedly, he was asked not to come back at all to any event after the Royal Rumble thing, And WWE has found through an audit $14.6 million in so-called recorded expenses linked to Vince McMahon that were not or something like that. I don't know how that went about, but that's what I found out here. And Triple H will now be in charge of the – he will also be – Talent Relations is COO position. And also the WWE is returning to Mexico, Scotland, and Germany coming up in the by the end of the year. And a breaking news story I got yesterday was that Riddle and Rollins match has been postponed for the SummerSlam event because Riddle was not cleared to wrestle. And what happened, how that progressed, if anyone is going to fight Seth Rollins. Now, later on in the broadcast here, I have the results from the ROH pay-per-view Death or Dishonor, and I have some news of some AEW wrestlers wanting to come back to the WWE, and they welcome back with open arms because Vince McMahon is no longer around to call the shots, and they're coming back. I hear a story. I'm hearing report Young Bucks from AEW or one of the tag teams that might want to come back to the WWE. All right, gentlemen, Jim Clayton, what's your thoughts on some of the topics I just laid out here?
The first thing I want to talk about is the Riddle-Rollins thing, which I think is great. They're really blurring the line between reality and fiction, the way they've been presenting it. Is he really hurt? There's been the Twitter stuff with Rollins saying, I've been taken out of SummerSlam. You have Triple H responding. I think just out of the bat in the post-Vince McMahon era, it was a good approach to take that going into SummerSlam, you have the audience who's not exactly sure what's to shoot, what's to work in terms of what's going on. You also had the Roman Reigns promo where he's referring to Austin Theory with Vince McMahon being his daddy, and his daddy's not there anymore. I think very good giving the fans these little teasers just to get people juiced up for the upcoming pay-per-view. I'm very much looking forward to SummerSlam and think it's going to be an exciting event. I think they have a lot of good matches scheduled.
Okay. We have 92 left right now. And go ahead, Smoke and Jim.
All right. Thanks, Ralph and Clayton. I tell you what, Sale from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Bring back ECW. Love the Sandman, WWE. I guess we could say sucks. Tired of hearing so many days of Roman having a belt. This show is circled every week on my calendar. But I tell you what, Ralph and Clayton, quick question for you guys. And like Ralph said, we're up to 92 live people right off the bat. But the WWE announced that they just hit 70 billion views, and that's more than the NBA, NFL, MLB, and all other sports combined. I tell you what, Ralph,
wow.
We're in the right place at the right time, don't you think?
Absolutely. We are. And I don't care what kind of product they put out. I've said it many times because I come in the podcast, and he has said it many times, no matter how big the product is, WWE still makes money. And so that's what's been going on for years. I want you guys, we'll start off with Smoke and Jim first, but on Vince McMahon stepping down.
I tell you what, man, it was a sad day for me. I go all the way back to when he was an announcer at the wrestling matches, and they used to threatened to beat him up and whatnot. He was just a young guy then, but he actually owned a product. And I tell you what, it's always sad to see, you know, legendary figures go away. And Vince McMahon did so much to create this brand and to make it as big as it is worldwide.
Echoing what Jim said, I mean, you can't speak of professional wrestling in the past 30 years without talking about Vince McMahon. He's central to the story. I think in many ways the lesson I take from this is WWE, how it's changed being a publicly traded company with this outside board of directors as opposed to being a private company. Because I think the closest parallel to what has happened in the last couple of months is when the federal government was going after McMahon with the steroids trial. he's able to beat that. And I think part of the story is simply being a privately held firm that he didn't really have to answer to anybody else. He simply had to win this court case to continue existing. Now with an outside board of directors, he has to respond to them. The money situation with the $14.6 million, I think, made the situation untenable that he was using company money in that respect. I think it's a sad day, but it's in many ways, I think, an expected day. I think for the last few years, people have been very much trying to figure out what will be the end game for McMahon in the WWE. People would often say, well, he'll be here until he dies. You know, I think for years, the fact that people were talking about what his exit would eventually be like indicated the writing was on the wall in some respect. And I'm looking forward to the future. I have a lot of respect for Triple H with his approach to the business. I'm very excited to see Paul Heyman taking on a prominent role. The guy who asked the question about wanting to see ECW, I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the WWE. It kind of a return to the earlier vintage when they had the ECW return back a decade or so ago. And with WrestleMania being in Philly next year, as was announced this week, I think the ECW nostalgia will certainly be in the air. It'll be interesting to see if it's just simply bringing back the old guys and having them out there, or will it in some way change the culture and change the product. I hope in some respects there is a move more in the kind of Paul Heyman direction. I think he's one of the most creative guys in the history of the business, and I'm excited to see what happens moving forward.
All right. Our next topic on the WWE is the SummerSlam lineup for this Saturday. As you know, the Seth Rollins match has been postponed because, the story out yesterday was that Riddle has not been to wrestle for Saturday. And then now we hear Rollins with his tweet saying that, you know, he's been taken out something. And Clayton, we'll start off with you. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's an excellent card moving forward. I mean, if you look at it, I think Reigns and Lesnar is a bit tired. I'm looking forward to the Logan Paul Miz match. I think they've done a very good job credibly showing Logan Paul as a striker. He certainly has shown it in the ring and boxing that he's capable of this, and they've made him look like a very destructive force. I think the buildup to it has been very good over the past few weeks, and I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I see we're up to 154 viewers now. Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey, I think is going to be a great match. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. I think they have a very good card in place. I think they did a good job not making the card too big, so you can focus in on a handful of matches and I think have some good storylines. I assume the Mysterios match is going to be,
Jim,
you know, send them home happy kind of thing too.
Oh, sorry, Clayton. Smoking Jim, go ahead.
All right, thanks. Hey, we got another update from some of the listeners, like Clayton said. We're up to 154. Tom from Dallas, Texas. Love your Pittsburgh shows. Big listener of Dr. Roscoe Saturdays. My all-time Intercontinental Champion, top five, Honky Tonk Man, the Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake, Hercules, and the Million Dollar Man. He said, let me hear all of yours. But I tell you what, I was a little disappointed. I did re-watch Raw this morning, Ralph, and I did see a long, long match between, Riddle and so many other guys, man. And that's probably where he got injured at, man. You know, Theory was part of that, and man, they had a tag team match, and these guys was in and out of the ring with Butch jumping in as well. So that's probably where he ended up getting hurt, was probably sometime Monday night. It was about a 45-minute brawl between all those guys. So
yeah, that was crazy, Smoking Jim. I do agree with you on that. And now you are correct. This card doesn't look too bad. The match I want to see is Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin, because that not only is he from Pittsburgh, but I'm interested to see how he is able to perform against Happy Corbin. Happy, great wrestler and all. I'm waiting to see what Pat McAfee does in this match. I'm hoping that he comes out successful. I'm not a Happy Corbin And the two women's championship matches look good. And the Reigns-Lesnar match, again, we're going to see what happens here on this as well. We basically talked a lot about the WWE right now. Coming up on Sunday, which also in Nashville, is going to be Ric Flair's last match. What's your guys' thoughts on this? We'll start off with Smoke and Jim. What's your thought on Ric Flair's last match? He's teaming up with Andrade, his son-in-law, and they're going to be Jeff G. Lethal, and there's some undercard to it, too. There's some other matches going on as well. What's your thought on that?
I tell you what, Ralph, man, the Texans are coming in. People are loving the show. They're loving you. They're loving Clayton. Walter from Oregon, SummerSlam is not going to change anything. WrestleMania is the venue. And thank you, Clayton, for the update on Philadelphia getting it. I tell you what, I want to go back real quick before I talk about Ric Flair, my hero. I want to go back and talk about Happy Corbin and Pat McAfee, like you said, he is from the area. But a lot of people don't know when they were rookies with the Indianapolis Colts, they were roommates. And Pat McAfee went on to have a great, great NFL career, maybe even a Hall of Fame career. So I'm looking forward to it. Just some bad blood there. But I tell you what, Ralph, you know, if anybody – whether you love him or hate him, Ric Flair was a must-see TV. I mean, you didn't miss when the Four Horsemen came on or Ric Flair was around. And the one thing that you can't beat is Father Time. So I'm glad Ric Flair is able to go out with one last match for the fans, buddy.
In terms of the Ric Flair match, I probably don't have a lot of interest in seeing it. I love Ric Flair, huge fan of all the different periods of his career. I hope they're successful. I hope they make a lot of money at it. And as I said before, if there's an audience for seeing Rick wrestle at his age, God bless them. I hope they enjoy the match. I hope everybody stays safe. It probably won't be an area of focus for me this weekend, but I think it, you know, I hope they draw money and I hope they find an audience. I see we're up to 174 now. We had Eric from Braintree, Mass, who said, Hercules sucks, give me Virgil over him. I don't know about that. I've got Albert from Poway, who wants to talk about Dolph Ziggler. We've got Patrick from Rhode Island, who was making reference to the Vince allegations. I want to go back to the question a little while ago about Intercontinental Champions. And I particularly like the way the WWF booked Intercontinental Champions in the early 90s. When you had Bret Hart, when you had Shawn Michaels, it was a building block for them to get into the world title picture. And I think in a way also as the WWF transitioned from having these basically bodybuilder types of Hogan and the Warrior as champion, moving towards smaller, more chain wrestling type guys as champions, having them as Intercontinental Champions, as Bret Hart was a couple of times, as Shawn Michaels was a couple of times, I think paved the way for them being perceived as world championship material. And I think using that belt as a building block is very successful. I also enjoyed Razor Ramon's run during the 90s as well. The Rock also used it, when he was back as Rocky Maivia, used it as a transition to being in the world title picture. So I think giving a guy a degree of credibility by having that belt on him is a very helpful move and I think a good approach to booking.
Yeah, everybody forgets about Patterson and Pedro Morales. They were the two that basically got the Intercontinental Championship moving. Pat Patterson was the very first one, and then Pedro Morales had it up, and that's what led the start of the Intercontinental Championship. And so I we include those two guys in there too, because they were back in the 70s and 80s and whatnot. They were always the guys that held that as well. All right, we can let's swing back to the topic. I spoke a little earlier at the beginning of the show. There's a lot of wrestlers now that are want to leave AEW. Apparently, as we've mentioned in prior shows, Clayton and Smoke and Jim, AEW is stockpiling, and they don't know what to do with it. And now some of this talent's starting to get discouraged and now that Vince McMahon has stayed, some of the ones that he said could never come back are now going to start flocking back. One of them is the team, the Young Bucks. I'm hearing reports they're not happy with the direction of AEW. They were executive vice presidents at one point. Tony Khan has decided to take over the ship, and their powers, knowing creative minds, have been sort of knocked away, and they just recently lost belts to Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, and now they're sort of lost in the shuffle here, and I hear they want to come back to the WWE. And, you know, what's your guys' thoughts on that? We'll start off with Smoke and Jim. What's your thoughts on the on this, perhaps some wrestlers that left that may be coming back because Vince McMahon is no longer going to be there?
My man, thanks. Well, I tell you what, man, we're up over the Mendoza line. We're up over 200 right now, man. I agree with you 100%, Ralph. It's great to, you know, recycle some of these guys. You know, they come with a great fan base. The only thing that's a problem, I think that Clayton mentioned it before, I think Mark Mancini mentioned it before, and I know Ralph mentioned it before, it may be time to move, you know, the Friday night event from 2 hours to 3 hours, you know, and maybe cut down on some of the, the back and forth talking to give these guys an opportunity to showcase their wrestling skills, because right now, man, there's just so many people, you know, waiting to get an opportunity to get in the ring, and it's just not enough hours in a week right now.
I think AEW is in some respects facing the same problem as the WWE. They have such an extensive roster now that they can't feature everybody. I think of somebody like Max Caster, who has a great look. He's a good talker. His in-ring work is good. He's a bit buried on the AEW roster. I think if he went over to the WWE, you could put a fresh coat of paint on him. He certainly has like almost like a John Cena early in his career kind of look. I could see him being a major player in the WWE if he got a shot over there. And I think some of the people who had difficulty with McMahon in one respect or another, Miro might be an example, might end up going back. I could see Paul White going back potentially just as an attraction. There's a wide range of talents on the AEW roster that I think could find a new home in WWE. And sometimes I don't even know that it's a matter of displeasure. Simply finding a new, just like in the territory era, guys could shift around so much, rebuild themselves, build new characters year after year after year. With just having the two companies, having an opportunity to move over and simply try something else out, I think can be a good career move for a lot of people. And there's many people on that roster who are not regularly featured but are excellent workers and bring many other skills to the table.
All right, I got a report here that we have 225 listeners right now, which is great. 225. I want to thank everyone for listening and supporting the show. It's great that we have Clayton on as a city and also Jim Frazier. And I want to talk about something a little interesting here. Smoke and Jim and I are putting on a TV show in September on Channel 21, Comcast 47, Verizon Cable, PC TV. It's going to be the first TV show in a long, long time. Specific focus is on professional wrestling. And Clayton, we're going to have you and Mark on as steady contributors to the show. There was a I'm sorry, Clayton.
Oh, I said I can't wait. I look forward to being a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there used to be a gentleman here in town who was in wrestling for a while. He was an announcer, and he also was a wrestler in the independents. Mark has gone away from the wrestling scene because of his dispute with Ric Flair. And he has called the business backstabbing, and he no longer wants to. He don't talk about the video show anymore. But now we have a guy here in Pittsburgh who, for some strange reason, seems to want to step on everything that I put out sports or general talk, which I have a couple shows, as you know, Clayton, and Smoke and Jim, you know, that I do here. One is called the Way called, Sports Corner. There's this guy here. He was a producer for so many years for a radio station. He never had an opportunity to talk show or be on the radio. Now he's sort of trying to make this opportunity. And what he's doing is he's stepping on, you know, stepping on kind of like on my territory. I don't care if he talks sports on his show. I don't care if he talks general talk on his show. But when you start talking wrestling and you don't really know what you're talking about, I have an issue with that. And now he's trying to step on my territory now because now I'm starting to become the new king of talk in Pittsburgh because no one else is doing it. Okay? And now all of a sudden now he wants to start trying to talk about it on his little tiny little show that he has on in the morning that all of a sudden it took this radio station 10 years to figure out to put back on after they some kind of national public talk radio station for so long. And so I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention that we have this guy who is attempting to step on the build right now, and I don't appreciate it. This guy has been doing this to me before, and I really don't appreciate it. Now he's trying to step on my wrestling stuff, and I really don't appreciate it now because I'm starting to build something in Pittsburgh that has not been satisfied, and I'm going to satisfy it in September because not only am I doing the TV show with Smoke and Jim, I'm also bringing back a podcast that I was doing as well. So what I'm saying is we're going to start really include this show as well. So Pittsburgh's going to get a big-time, you know, menu of professional wrestling talk. Professional. I mean, I'm talking about a really professional wrestling talk, I'm not saying that some of these former wrestlers, they have podcasts that they're not doing a bad job, but there's a few of them that just don't have the voice to, and they don't know how to talk like we do. And I'm not saying this just because I think we're good. I know we're good. And I think this is going to move on even better with the three of us. And Mark producing, you know, and everything else, it's really become a great show. And it's going to move forward. But I just wanted to bring out to attention here that we got this guy in this town now who thinks that he's going to try to step on something else that I'm trying to build here. And I really – and this guy's disrespected me many times, and I'm really not appreciative of it. So, but anyway, let's get back to this to the wrestling talk here at hand. ROH week had their death and I'm sorry, go ahead, Clayton. Was that you?
I was going to say you got some local support from Barry from Wheeling, West Virginia, who says he loves Ric Flair. He wonders where Mankind is in all this discussion. He also name checks his interest in Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Greg the Camer Valentine. Certainly some familiar names that we all know from back in the WWE.
Yeah, I forgot about Greg the Hammer. He was Intercontinental, and so was Brutus Beefcake. Brutus Beefcake's been wrestling in the independents here and there. Ricky Morton, speaking of Rock Express, still in NWA now with his, wrestling with his son. Robert Gibson's not wrestling anymore. So, you know, he's been teaming up with his son. They're on NWA now. So, you know, some of the older wrestlers are still involved. Jerry the King Lawler's been doing some stuff independently. I don't know how he gets around that with his WWE contract, but he's been doing some stuff. Booker T, you know, and a few other guys have been doing some independent stuff lately. And here in town, we have something called the International Wrestling Cartel. Some of these guys have shown up at some of these events. So, you know, it's moving along. You know, the independents are getting better, more and more people because the price of it, as I've mentioned many times on this program, the closeness to the wrestler. You can get an autograph. You can get a photo with them. You don't have to go through hoops and bounds. you know, they'll shake hands with you. They'll even come over and, you know, shake your hand or whatever and not hesitate to do so and everything else. So it's a really interesting scenario. ROH Death and Dishonor, Claudio Castagnoli, who is formerly known as Cesaro, he beat Jonathan Grisham to become the ROH World Heavyweight Champion. And also Samoa Joe, he beat Jay Lethal to retain his TV title for ROH. As you know, ROH is now owned by Tony Khan. Mercedes Martinez, former WWE NXT star, she retained her women's title against Serena Deeb. And then Jericho Appreciation Society, he got defeated by Wheeler Yuta in a match for the Pure Championship. Yuta retained. And then also Jonathan Grisham, who lost to Claudio Castagnolis, who was formerly known as Cesaro. He was out of his ROH contract, and he may be moving on to something else. So any questions from any of you guys about the ROH event last week?
I honestly didn't see it. It sounds like they had a great card, though, with a lot of familiar names. I mean, it seems like it has a mix of, obviously, Samoa Joe, Cesaro, very well-known people, with guys who are finally getting an opportunity. And I think having that ROH brand has been very good for AEW as a safety valve for just the glut of talent that they've built up and another opportunity for fans to get to enjoy their very interesting product. I see we're up to 256 right now, which is fantastic. Mitchell from Louisville just wants to send along his appreciation for what we've been doing and glad it's a 45-minute show now. He name-checks Steamboat Savage as his all-time favorite match. We've got Harry from Beaumont, Texas, who's going to SummerSlam and says it's going to be a real tourist trap and that he may have to refinance his mortgage to afford all the merchandise that's available there in Nashville this weekend.
Hey, Smokey Jim, what's the word I always use? You got to take out a loan. You still with us? I hope he's okay. Clayton, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, and we got 13 minutes to go. It looks like it's nice to have all these great questions and conversations from people. Ralph? What's your all-time favorite match? I mean, I hear so many people say Steamboat Savage, and it's a great one of the all-time greats. But just closing your eyes, what comes to mind for you as the all-time great match?
Actually, I can't say. Probably, I've watched a lot of wrestling, Clayton. To be honest with you, I would probably say the Hulk Hogan match when he beat the Iron Sheik for the World Heavyweight title,
mm-hmm.
WWE. I thought that was a good match. Probably the Ric Flair Hulk Hogan matchups, the Rock and Stone Cold matches were good. Ric Flair and Steamboat, those were good matches. Sting and Ric Flair were good matches. To be honest with you, Clayton, it's a toss-up because I've seen so many that I'm not even sure I could even say which one's the best.
Well, I think there's one thing in common about all of those is that they all had such a great build-up, all those matches you mentioned, that it lent some drama to the actually great in-ring action in all those instances.
Oh, yeah. Smoker Jim, you still with us? Seems we've lost him. I hear some kind of noise there. Anyways, from him.
Yeah, I hear something.
Okay.
But
yeah. Huh. Well, Clayton, it's great that we have people that we have that have been putting their comments in about matches and things like that. We have a lot of these great matches that go on got the entire wrestling scene. I've even seen some great ROH matches. I used to work secure for those. I used to see some great matches.
I think for me, I mean, the thing that I remember, I was, you know, 13 years old or something at the time. At WrestleMania 10, the first ladder match with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels is often the first one that comes to mind because I've just never seen anything like it before. There's obviously been a lot of very similar matches since then, but it was just such a groundbreaking thing. And seeing them landing on each other with the ladder, it just seemed so dangerous just looking at it. It really lent a sense of drama to the occasion. Have you ever been to a WWE pay-per-view? I've been to a couple. I've been to TLC, and I've been to I've been to TLC twice in two different. Went to once in Cleveland, one time in Boston. So I've seen that event twice. Have you been to any WWE pay-per-views, or?
Yeah, I went to one where JBL was fighting the Big Show, and the Big Show, Paul White, threw JBL through the mat. And it was at the Civic Arena, or the Mellon Arena here, the old Mellon Arena. And I went to see it. And the fortune was, at the time, I was driving a cab here in Pittsburgh. And a GNC, General Nutrition Center, whose corporate headquarters is here in Pittsburgh as well, they were sponsoring WWE at the time. And I was able to get free tickets from an executive that they used to take to the airport. And they sent me up with for tickets. He got me for some I went to a couple Raw events, and then I also went to two pay-per-views, one in Cleveland. I forgot what that one was called in Cleveland. And then I went to the one in Pittsburgh where JBL got thrown through the mat. I mean, the mat just like broke after a show had thrown him or threw it. Big Show climbed up the second rope and dropped an elbow on JBL, and they both went right through the mat. And it was hilarious, and that was the match. It was funny.
You know, I've seen Big Show a couple times in person. I feel like the effect of seeing Big Show is a much bigger deal when you're actually there as opposed to television. You watch TV, you go, oh, this is a really big guy. But just seeing him in person, I've never seen a human even close to that size before. And seeing him up close is just such a unique attraction. I think one of the reasons he's been able to stick around so long and make so much money is in part because just seeing him in person is really like nothing most people see on a regular basis. I mean, he makes an NBA player look small by comparison. Denise from San Francisco says Jim must be buying his ladies dinner. Who knows? I buy it.
Hey, Ralph, he's back, I heard.
Hey, Ralph. I had to dial back in, man. I think all those people in Pittsburgh and the media that's stepping on your toes, they hacked into my phone, man. They're coming after me too, brother. Hey, I was able to listen to you guys, but I just couldn't. You just couldn't hear me. But Mark Mancini had me dialed back in. But I'm getting my batting average up, man. We're close to 300 right now, brother. I love it.
Oh yeah. The three and the double snake eyes. So there we go. All right. We have about 7 minutes left in the show. Not here for open conversation. Smoke and Jim Clayton and I were talking about some great matches. What was one of the ones that you saw that you thought was a great match? I've seen several, so I couldn't say which one.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I think we're in the midst of greatness right now. I wanted to ask you guys, if Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, does that move him into the Bruno Sammartino, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Rock? Does that move him into that group if he wins? That's up over 700 days as a champion. How would his legacy look if he beats Brock Lesnar Saturday night?
I would put him one notch below that level. I mean, I think he's just never had the crowd behind him in the way some of those other guys have had, either in terms of just being a face and having their support or the kind of heat that a serious heel gets. I mean, he's a fantastic competitor. He's had a great and storied career. But I would put him just one notch below the top of the pantheon of WWE champions.
You mean to tell me
that
Sami Zayn being one of the bloodlines don't move him a little higher?
I got it. look at Jim. I got a better chance of getting struck by lightning than Sami Zayn ever becoming famous in the WWE or anything other than what he does.
I enjoy his matches. I think he's a good performer. I mean, I've enjoyed seeing him in person a couple of times.
Yeah, I've never really seen too many of them in person. I have met Cody Rhodes a few times because of my old security job I was doing, and then I met the Young Bucks. I had Adam Cole. I hadn't met the villain from ROH. I'd met a few of them, most of the ROH guys, because I worked a lot of their events at a place we have here called Stage AE. That's where ROH used to have all their tapings when they would tape in Pittsburgh. They would usually come here in April and in December and tape here. And then NXT, when they do live events, they would do it at Stage AE. That's how I got to meet Ciampa and some other guys. That's a few that I've been able to meet over the years. And now starting to get into the...
Hey, Ralph, we only got 4 minutes left, less than 4 minutes. Why don't you wrap it up and then promote Clayton's book, brother?
Yeah, exactly. I can be reached at ralphm77@mail.com, Facebook, and also my other Facebook page, Sports Corner. The way I see it, in Wrestle Talk on one, and on Wimkin and Twitter. And also about my podcast shows, Monday, 7 p.m. The Way I See, Tuesday, 8 p.m. on both live on YouTube, Facebook, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Sports Corner. And also, don't forget to subscribe on my YouTube page as well. And don't forget, if you're in the Allegheny County area here in Pittsburgh, PTV Channel 21, Comcast 47, Verizon, myself, and Smoke and Jim Sports Corner. 5 p.m. start time on PT. Clayton, tell us a little bit about your book a little bit while we close this out.
Great. My book is called Loserville, How Professional Sports Remade Atlanta and How Atlanta Remade Professional Sports. It is an origin story for the modern sports business. If you want to figure out how pro sports got to the situation it's in, where cities are in this perpetual arms race competing to build bigger and better stadiums to keep their elite, to keep their teams, check out Loserville. It tells the story of Atlanta, which essentially invented the business model that cities all use now to try to lure pro sports and inadvertently reshape the entire landscape of North American sports. It's available from the University of Nebraska Press, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all your well-known book retailers. It's got a very good price on Amazon right now, too. I think it's like 40% off. I encourage you to check it out and check me out on Twitter at Clayton Truder, or check out my website, claytontruder.com.
Smoking Jim.
And I tell you what, me and my main man, Ralph Williams, we got a great live show on television Thursday, August 4th, right before we do this show. I'm looking forward to it. You can reach me at Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier, Facebook. Go ahead, Ralph.
All right. It's great to have you guys on with us again. And I thank all of your comments on Thursday night at 8 p.m., 347-205-9631. Tell your friend, tell your cousin, tell somebody about this program, because I'll tell you what, this is the number one wrestling show in the nation right now. And believe me, if it's all across the country and around the world. I want to thank Mark Mancini, who is our producer for this fine show, and I also want to thank our sponsor, DJ Fun. Don't forget, if you need a DJ for a party or a special event, call DJ Fun today. 10-plus years of experience in doing DJ work, and he will not, I repeat, will not rake you over the coals. The phone number is 412-545-4317. Call DJ Fun today. For Mark Mancini, Smokin' Jim Frazier, Clayton Truder, and Ralph Williams, this has been Wrestle Talk. We will talk with you next week. Everybody have a good night and be safe.